Okay, guys, I want to do a shot with you before we start today's chat. If you're listening, you might be like, what the hell? I'm going to be doing a wellness shot before we jump into today's coffee talk. I just finished my lunch and I want to try this. It's from Greenhouse. They're actually a Toronto-based company, but it's inside job for digestion. It's got vegan probiotics, organic lemon juice, and organic apple cider vinegar. My gut has just been so off lately. And the last few weeks, it's been bugging me. So I'm trying this out. And then I also made a tea today, lavender chamomile tea for our catch up today, because coffee is a no-no for my gut at the moment. So I'm gonna crack this open. I'm pretty sure this is gonna be a spicy shot if it's got apple cider vinegar. Yikes. Cheers. Holy, I bought a pack of these and I'm keeping all of the jars so that I can make my own wellness shots. And wow, that was spicy. Okay, let's dive in. Is it possible you love coffee as much as I do? Because if so, then definitely try out Trade today. For a limited time, you can enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my personal link, drinktrade.com/talk. That's drinktrade.com/talk, and you're going to get a free bag and up to $15 off select plans. That's drinktrade.com/talk, and a huge thank you to Trade for sending me some coffee and sponsoring today's episode. So every now and again, I like to do these little coffee catch-ups with you guys, even though I'm drinking tea today, where I'll post on Instagram and I will let you guys ask me anything you want, and I basically just catch up with you on life, on anything you might ask. So I posted it a couple days ago so that I was able to let it breathe and collect questions. And when I tell you, I am overwhelmed with the amount of questions that came through. I definitely don't think I'm going to be able to answer every single one. So if I didn't get to your question, know that I usually or try to do these about once a month, if not once every other month. So definitely ask it again. And my first question comes in saying, do you want to share a particular moment in time you wish you could give yourself a big hug, and why? To the person that wrote this in, good question. And I'm going to pitch the question actually out to you guys too listening. Is there a particular moment in time that you've wanted to give yourself a big hug, and why? Feel free to answer that in the comments. You know, there's probably a lot of times in my life I would want to go back and give myself a big hug. So editing me here, I'm actually going to jump in and change my answer. I originally said my teenage self, but I'm going to go back to 2023 and just give myself a huge hug at the beginning of the year and a huge hug at the end of the year, just the whole year of 2023 at large, with all of the grief and then all of the survival of being a new mom. And just at the time, I didn't even realize how much I was just powering through and how much I was putting my own feelings and my own needs aside just so that I could take care of my family and basically make it through. I think if I could just go back and give myself a hug and give myself like a pocket of time to just let it all out, it would probably feel really good. Yeah, I would want to go back and thank her and give her some space and just some like recognition and a giant hug. What is your favorite thing to plant in your garden? Oh God, I don't know. I'm very novice to gardening, but I'm looking forward to planting everything that we have going right now. Particularly the ones that are thriving the most are our tomato plants. My tomato plants right now are really thriving. So I think I'm gonna land on my tomato plants. But to be honest, this is only like my second year gardening. So that answer might change next year. I'll keep you posted. Maybe I missed it, but do you have a date for the wedding? Do y'all have anything planned? And then the same person asked, will you put any of your wedding on social media or will it all be private? We have a general idea of when we'll probably be getting married. Do you have anything planned? Not at the moment. We really need to have one of our like family meetings where we just sit down and we kind of talk about things and project ourselves into the future a little bit, just so we have some semblance of where we're headed. Likely going to be fall of 2025, because I would like my second baby to be a year so that I can, you know, really cut loose and enjoy myself a little bit and not be too stressed about having an infant. So that's when we'll we'll probably do like the big party with our friends and family. Might not even be that big. I don't know. The plans have been very up in the air. I'm just very much not going to stress about my wedding. And the other thing with having kids now, like, we got a quote from a place for a wedding for $30,000. And I was like, that could literally put both of our kids through school. So it's really hard for me to spend that kind of money on just one day. And I'm trying to find a way or kind of a happy medium where I can feel like I got to celebrate my love and celebrate our family and celebrate also just like feeling like a beautiful bride for a day without breaking the bank and without needing to do anything too extravagant. So the only reason why I think we're still going to do the real deal wedding is because the dress, I have a dress already, and Ryan's mom is the only person to have seen me wear the dress. I wanted to show her before she passed away. So that's the only reason why we're going to do the wedding, like wedding style with the dress and everything, because that's like the one way that we can still incorporate her. But no idea exactly what the plan is going to be. It'll likely be earlier in the fall so we can have it outside. All I care about is good food, good dance floor. And will it be posted to social media? I'll probably share a lot of it. Yeah, I'll probably share how I'm planning and, you know, get a videographer to do a little wedding video. I'll share for sure. What is the hardest thing about being pregnant while taking care of a kid? Probably just physically, it's definitely more taxing, but I think more than anything, the hardest part of motherhood in general can be just how much pressure I put on myself. And I'm sure a lot of moms out there can relate. I just want to do more. I always want to do more. I always want to spend more time with family. I always want to spend more time with friends. I always want to do more work. I always want to spend more time with my kid and spend more time with my fiance and spend more time on the house and keep my house cleaner and, you know, keep myself more healthy. And just like I always just feel like I could be doing more. So I think sometimes the hardest part, especially right now, while already having a kid and being pregnant, it's just tough to kind of remind yourself like how much you actually are already doing and how much your work is actually paying off. Like there's just so much pressure to do more and to do better all of the time. And then obviously, yeah, physically very taxing to be chasing around a toddler while heavily pregnant. And this pregnancy, I would say, is more physical than my first one. I just feel it more. So that's been interesting. Are you planning a home birth for baby number two? Very likely, yes. And that is my own personal decision. I know some people have their opinions about things like that. I am a very much go with the flow birther. I've only given birth once, but I planned a home birth with my first, and just due to some worries, it wasn't even complications. It was just like potential could be complications. My midwife was like, I think we should go to the hospital. And I was just very much okay with that. So I'm not against going to the hospital. I'm not against any kind of medical intervention at all. I would just love to do it at the comfort of my home and be at home and have my things and my, you know, be in my sanctuary. And if I have to go to the hospital, I'm very cool with that and I will go. So that's just kind of the way I'm planning it. Zero stress, you know? Ooh, this is a very, very open-ended question. What are your spiritual beliefs now? Might need to take a sip for this. I mean, it's tough because I think answering this, I get hesitant. And I've said it many times in many videos, and someone actually just recently commented being like, stop disclaiming yourself, just say what you believe, and like people are either going to agree with you or they won't. And yeah, I definitely think part of it is like a little bit of people pleasing, but also just knowing that when I speak openly online, anyone can stumble across my content. And I never ever want to make somebody feel excluded from the conversation because we might look at things differently. So I always make disclaimers like, well, this is what I personally believe in. Or, you know, too, I think that there's sometimes if I were to be very open and transparent exactly about how I feel and believe, that it's a very vulnerable thing to do. And people can kind of like attack you and, you know, make you feel small or make you feel stupid for the things that you believe. And I'm very protective over my energy. I'm very protective over my spirit and my spirituality. And so I guess that's partly why I don't always go very as deep as I probably could and do feel. However, I also sometimes don't always go too deeply into things because my belief systems and my perspectives on the world are always evolving and changing. And I never want to box myself in. I never want to back myself into a corner I feel like I even learned this through things like veganism, where I think sometimes when you're like, okay, this is who I am, this is exactly what I believe and how I'm going to live my life. But then, you know, you learn new things along the way. And that's not to say that veganism is wrong by any sense, but that's why I call myself plant-based now, because I've learned things along the way about my body, but also about the world and about different choices that we can all make and different realistic, like, living situations and experiences. So when it comes to spirituality, what's my current belief? My current belief is that we are all spiritual beings, souls, energy, experiencing the third dimension, experiencing physical bodies as we know them here on this planet, in this universe, in this dimension, on this field. And I think that we are here to learn, and I think that we are here to evolve and hopefully grow past the lessons that are the generations before us have, you know, come up short, and that the generations that continue to hopefully come after us will continue to evolve and learn from what we fall short in. Listen up, all coffee lovers. You need to hear about Trade Coffee. They are changing the way that you can experience coffee at home, and they continuously curate a wide variety of coffees from the best small batch specialty roasters in the US, and then make personalized recommendations based on what you like or may like to try. Every bag is roasted to order and shipped fresh to you by one of their 50 plus partners. If you love dark roast coffee, decaf coffee, espressos, cold brew, iced coffee, you name it, you can discover the best coffee suited for your taste and try out a bunch of different great brands and different blends of coffee. It's also not too early to start thinking about the perfect gift for your mom or your dad or some friends, possibly some graduates for the year, or a best friend getting married or having a birthday. Whether it's for yourself or you're gifting it to a loved one, you really can't go wrong with gifting people great coffee. Personally, my favorite kind of gift to get, I was able to try out Trade, which was awesome. I decided to go with their Dreamer Decaf because of the name, solely, to be honest with you. And it's one of those blends that I can drink later in the day, especially because I'm only on a one cup of caffeine per day right now. So when I drink it later in the day, it's so warm. It's so smooth. It doesn't have that, like, leave it in the cup and linger too long because it's too acidic. It's just so tasty. Is it possible you love coffee as much as I do? Because if so, then definitely try out Trade today. For a limited time, you can enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my personal link, drinktrade.com/talk. That's drinktrade.com/talk, and you're going to get a free bag and up to $15 off select plans. That's drinktrade.com/talk, and a huge thank you to Trade for sending me some coffee and sponsoring today's episode.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
I definitely believe that love and, like, the one source might not even have been love, but something like love, or that's the most human way that we can understand it, is to call it love. That there is this one source that has created or tethers all things. And so we are all connected in some way, but we're also so vastly different. And truly, whether it is spiritually or even non-spiritually, I think that the answer is always a little bit of both. I think that there is such duality in life, but that I don't think it's very, I don't definitely don't believe that life is two-dimensional or two-sided. So while there can be two ends of something, there always has to be. There always has to be the darkest of dark and the lightest of light. There has to be two, right? There has to be one and two. There has to be beginning and end. There has to be light and dark. But to me, there is, it's so multi-dimensional in the middle, and it can go up and down, and the scales can go so wide and so far. And so all things kind of have a little bit of each other in them. And that includes us as human beings. I think we all have a little bit of each other inside of ourselves and our generations before us inside of ourselves. And we're all so deeply connected, but we're also going on these individualistic journeys in the bodies that we've come in and in the lineage of time that we experience in this dimension. I could go deeper. We could go further with that. Like, what happens when you die? What happens before you die or before you're born, and so many other things, but I'll leave it there so I don't ramble on too much about it. And I should also add in too, that I do believe that a lot of religions and a lot of spiritualities and a lot of, you know, beliefs are a lot of the same things just spoken in different languages. So I don't know. I don't get really turned off by someone that looks at the world or believes things differently than me. Like, I don't get turned off by people that follow different religions or different spiritual practices if I can tell that the intention or the core of that religious belief or spiritual practice is similar, because I do think a lot of them are similar. Like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you, and like to love and to be better and to do better and to want the world to be better. And like, I think anybody that is following that kind of practice, I don't really care the path they take. So yeah, that's my belief. Even someone that might be atheist might still be like, I don't believe that there's anything. I think that this is all circumstantial and that we just accidentally ended up here. But they might still want to be a good person and want to make the world a better place. Because we're here doesn't mean that we should just be like, you know, ambivalent to it. So yeah, I'm also open to all kinds of beliefs and spiritual practices. And I think that's why I can constantly look at the world from a new perspective and not want to back myself into a corner. Because I can understand, even if it's not necessarily what I particularly follow or practice. Good question. That was a deep one. What does a regular day in your family's life look like? Well, for a work day, like a Monday, today is a Monday, we wake up and have breakfast, and I'll get my son ready. I'll wash up and get myself kind of, you know, somewhat ready, because I tend to work out in the morning. So I'll just like wash my face and brush my teeth and brush my hair and, you know, throw on a quick outfit and go and drop him off, you know, pack his bag, get him all washed up, brush his teeth and so on and so forth, drop him off at daycare, work out. And usually that can be anything from strength training to yoga to, lately I've been incorporating a little bit more cardio. And once it gets really, really nice, I'm definitely going to start walking again outside. And then I meditate, and then I have my second breakfast because I like two breakfasts in the morning. And then I will get ready. Then I check into my work. My fiance is gone to work by this point. He leaves in the morning, usually around the same time. And I will spend my day working. I usually take a break around lunch, around 3:30, 3:45. I kind of close down my work for the day. If I have time, I will write, spend just like however much time until my fiance and my son get home writing. Or sometimes I'll just use that as creative time to come up with ideas or concepts for content. Then I make dinner, or sometimes we'll hang out outside for a little bit. And then I come in, I make dinner, we eat dinner, I clean up dinner and clean up my son, give him a bath. We read a book, we get our PJs on. Lately, the last couple of nights, I've just gone to bed when I put my son to bed because I've been really tired. Like, that's a long day for me. But sometimes I also really enjoy, after he goes to sleep, using that as my free time, where my fiance and I will spend some time together, or I'll get some extra work done, or I'll just relax and veg and watch a show, or just kind of do whatever I want to do. And then I end my day with doing some skincare, a little simple stretch, and head to bed. On the weekends though, it's kind of like the morning routine and the night routine is the same, but in the middle, it's like I'll take my son usually on an adventure if it's like a Friday or a Saturday, if we're going on a little family adventure into the city or something, you know, go to a park. And I also will spend one weekend day, you know, around the house doing some house projects and try and include my son as well. And then Sundays at work. Sundays I do book clubs and such. So yeah, that's kind of like a typical week in my life with my family. What's your favorite part of your daily routine? The very, very first moments in the morning, because my son is very much a mama's boy right now. And when he wakes up, he immediately, we currently co-sleep through the night. He always ends up in our bed. And so when we wake up, it's like, he's my alarm, and he'll wake up and be like, mama, and I'll always open my eyes and he'll be like, morning, mama. And that's probably my favorite part of every single day. And then sometimes, actually most days, he's still like, he is just woken up when he does this, and he'll wake up and like be like, mama, dada. And then I'll usually just wrap my arms around him and kind of roll over and like tuck him in. And he'll just kind of, sometimes he stays awake and he's just like talking away, but he's still kind of lazy. But sometimes he'll fall back asleep in that position. And then we just sleep for like an extra 15 minutes, like our foreheads nestled. And it's my favorite part of every day. What are some goals you're hoping to accomplish before baby two? Ooh, good question. Well, I have been loving content lately. I feel like I've really gotten back into my stride with creating vlogs again. I just said again, so weird, again. And mainly there's like a couple things that I want to do, but I'm going to be vlogging it. One of the big ones is doing a big giant freezer prep, like for when baby first arrives, so that I have tons of meals just fully frozen and ready to go. Because I'm not going to be able to like cook for the first little bit there. I would love to just finish getting the house kind of like spring cleaned and organized and nesting. We're also going to be renovating our kitchen, so definitely want that to be done. We're doing that likely in June. So having the kitchen done. And then personally, you know, there was so much I thought I wanted to get done before baby comes. And now I'm kind of just at the point where I'm like, I'm just rolling with life. I would love to have an assistant hired before baby two comes, so that once the baby is here, I can have somebody in person to just help out a little bit with work, because I don't plan to stop working. I was going to, but I'm just rolling with life, but definitely want to have an assistant hired. So that would probably be, wow, I can't speak. That would probably be my big personal goal. And I'd love to have more writing done by then, but that's definitely one of those things that's like necessarily the highest priority, even though it's one of the things I enjoy a lot. Someone asks, how do you feel about being a boy mom? Have you ever wanted to have a girl? So I've kind of fallen down the content wormholes where I see like a lot of almost negative connotation about like people calling themselves boy moms. So I've been very aware not to call myself a boy mom. Not that I think there's anything wrong with it or anything wrong with being a boy mom. I don't know who's in the wrong in that situation, because part of it feels a little bit misogynistic, but part of it also does, like, I can kind of understand the like making it your identity to be a boy mom. I don't look at it that way. I look at myself as just a mom, and I happen to have a boy and another boy on the way. It's interesting because when I was younger, just due to my own tense and turbulent relationship with my own mom, for some reason I never wanted girls. I always said, all of the way back to, I've been a Swiftie for a very long time, okay? So when the Speak Now album came out, I was in grade 10, grade 11. The music video for Mine by Taylor Swift came out. It was this like B-roll music video of this girl and this guy falling in love and starting a family and having two boys, and that became my dream. And so I always said I would have two boys, and that was my dream for a very long time. I stopped saying that probably as I got into like my 20s, and I didn't even really talk about, you know, having kids as much, or like if I did, I didn't have that person yet. So it's not really something I would be like, I'm gonna get married and I'm gonna have two boys. Like, I always just said I would get married and have kids. And now it's interesting in hindsight that I'm like, wow, okay, I'm getting married and I'm having two boys. So it did come true. It did come into fruition. In full transparency, part of me was a little bit hoping I would have a girl, just to be able to, and it's for solely selfish reasons. I'm so, so grateful to have any child and to be given the gift of being able to mother anyone. But I think it was just for my own selfish reasons. I thought it might have been very healing for me to end up actually having a daughter and to live out that mother-daughter relationship now that I'm older and I've done a lot of my own healing. However, it doesn't matter to me what the gender or sexual orientation of my babies are. I'm a mom through and through either way. And a lot of the lessons I would teach a daughter, they might not be exactly the same, but the core energy will be. So it doesn't matter to me what my children are, who they are. Even if they're boys, it doesn't always necessarily mean they're going to be like super boyish boys. Maybe they'll be like more bookish boys or more, you know, gardening boys, or, and same with girls. Like maybe you'll get a girl that's like super into sports and wants to hang out with daddy more. It's like, you never know with those things. So I could have had a daughter and she may have just fully navigated or just clung to Ryan and been like a daddy's girl. And maybe I would have never even gotten that chance to like do those healing selfish things that I just said. So it does not matter to me. So that's where I stand with that. There was a selfish part of me that was like, it would be nice to have a girl. But I always said I would have two boys, and I guess I was right. Someone asks, how are you managing it all? Do you have a house help? Do you have house help or a nanny? And I actually had a couple questions like this. And at the very beginning, when I posted this Q&A, I directly DM'd some answers just being like, okay, I just want to clarify. I am not managing at all. I'm definitely not. I don't currently have any house help or a nanny. We actually don't have much of a village either. They say it takes a village to raise a family. It really does. And if you don't have the village, you almost have to hire your village. You have to hire your help. So if you do end up hiring a house help or like a house cleaner or a nanny, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think then, you know, it sucks because no matter what you do sometimes as a mom, like you can't win. So if you do hire help, then people say, you know, you're cheating yourself out of motherhood, or like, you know, you're not actually doing it all yourself, which, why do we expect women to do it all themselves? I don't understand. And if you don't hire the help, then you burn yourself out. Or where I'm at, because I know when my symptoms of burnout do start to bubble to the surface, then you just have to sacrifice certain things and you have to sacrifice certain comforts. So like, it's a huge comfort for me to live in a very, very clean house. And there are long periods of time, sometimes weeks at a time, where that's just not the reality for me because I'm doing the best I can. Even with work for a long time there, when after I had my first, you know, I wasn't posting a whole lot of content and I really had to put my job, my content creation, my career on the back burner. And that was really hard. And I felt so terrible throughout. Now that I look back, I'm like, girl, you had no choice. Like, you had to make sacrifices. And the one thing I'll never sacrifice is, you know, the upbringing of my children. So if I have a dirty house or if I don't get as much content posted, does it suck? Yes, especially because one of those things pays my bills. You do what you have to do to survive as a parent sometimes. And if you have the means and you can hire your village, hire your village. If you have your village born and bred into your family, oh my gosh, be so grateful. It's like we know people, we have friends that have families that have like two, sometimes three sets of grandparents that live close by that they can send their kids to like all the time. And like, we just don't have that kind of help. Definitely not managing at all. Some weeks are better than other weeks. Some weeks I get more done than other ones. And sometimes I have one thing going really well and other things not getting done so well. And then when the pendulum swings the other way, sometimes my house is really clean, but my work is falling apart. Like, it's just, it is what it is. You do the best you can. Hoping to hire some work help though, before I have my second baby. Yeah, like literally the following two questions are like, how do you balance your time? And how do you juggle everything with motherhood and working and quality time with partner self-care? Exactly. Kind of like what I just said. Something always gets sacrificed. Sometimes it's time with my significant other. Sometimes it is my self-care. Sometimes it's my house. Sometimes it's my job. You gotta get the drill. But yeah, there's been lots of pregnancy questions. What emotions are different with this pregnancy versus your first? Okay, this is one of those things, like I said earlier, where sometimes you'll just express an experience or belief that you have and people will think you're weird or crazy or make you feel stupid for it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. All right, when I was having my first is a Virgo, but not only is he a Virgo, his whole birth chart is pretty much Earth. Like, he is a Virgo sun, a Virgo rising, and a Capricorn moon. So he is fully Earth through and through. And I kid you not, that whole pregnancy, I have never felt more grounded in my life. I felt very, very grounded, very at peace, very easy go with the flow, slow motion, just like fully in my feet. This time around, I'm having a Leo. And boy, do I feel a lot fiery, a lot more fiery this pregnancy. And I personally, if you look at my birth chart, have no fire. I have like zero fire in my birth chart. I have like one little bit of fire, and it's not even one of the main planets. I think it's like my Chiron, or like my, there's like, it's whatever it has to do with like your direction for your career, and it's not a main planet. That's the only thing I have in fire, and it's in Sagittarius. So I'm having a Leo, and I'm feeling a lot more fiery. I'm feeling a lot more spicy. I'm feeling a lot stronger boundaries. Maybe more confident would be a good one, but not even more confident. I just feel like more motivated to be like putting myself out there and taking more risks and doing more than I normally would. And that's been cool. So that part has been very interesting. Emotionally, I would say that I definitely have my moments where I get very teary. Especially anything that's like, I follow a lot of Instagram accounts that are like good news or, you know, wholesome things. And anytime I scroll past one of those, I am no doubt gonna cry. I've also watched a couple people's like birthing videos, and I bawl my eyes out every single time. The other day I walked into my room and my dog was cuddled up in my sweater, and it made me cry. So I definitely, that was normal with my first pregnancy too, though. I definitely just felt more sentimental maybe. But yeah, I'm a lot more fiery this pregnancy. And like when I get mad, oh boy, steer clear. How many kids do you want? I always said two, because I am the middle of three, and I don't think I want to do that to the one I'm having right now. And also in this economy, hard to have a big family. But it's really, I'm finding it very, very difficult. And that's why I keep on making these like little points to say, like, this is likely going to be my last pregnancy, and this might be my last pregnancy, because it's really hard for me to like accept that this would be the last one. So I'll never say never, but we've already gone through a bit of the process, or just like gotten and collected information of what we would need to do once baby two comes, to basically kind of be like, okay, that's it. So that's tough. I think I would have to, honestly, first and foremost, get myself through year one with baby two before I could even, you know, fully make another decision, because I don't think I'd be in my right mind. I'm definitely not in my right mind to say it now. Right now I'd be like, give me four kids, okay? I can't stop now. So two is definitely the smartest decision. It's the one that makes the most sense for us and our lifestyle, and like, again, the amount of help that we have. I would love to have lots of babies. Actually, not lots. I would love to have four. I think I'll be stopping at two. And I'll just let my fiance decide, because it's going to be down to him. He's ready to go. He's like, baby, once baby's out, we're done. He's going to book his appointment and we're done. The realistic side of me, I need to not romanticize it. I need to be realistic about it. And I don't want to shortchange myself or my other kids by, you know, having more and then not being able to fully not only be present and like not only be healthy, but also not have anything for myself, my own time, my own career, you know? So two, probably two, but I would love to have four. I'm 35 weeks, first time mom. Any postpartum advice? I would say make sure that you have like good support for the postpartum phase, especially those first few weeks. Freezer prep meals if you can. If not, what I did with my first pregnancy is I got these meals that would get delivered to our house that were frozen, that we could easily just pop in the oven at the end of the day. If you can, if you have help, ask them to help. And if you don't have help, hire a postpartum doula. That's what I'm currently looking into right now. And just basically really, really, really pamper and take care of yourself during the postpartum phase, because not only do you need it, like your body is literally gonna need it, but you deserve it. Like you grew and birthed life onto the planet. Like pamper yourself postpartum. Please, please, please do it. Being overstimulated as a mom. Does Ryan ever get on your nerves? I'm going through it. Oh my Lord, yes. Are you kidding me? We both get on each other's nerves. It's normal. Overstimulation as a parent is so real. Maybe like, I don't know, not always displayed or shown or talked about, but it's very, very real. very, very common from pretty much any mom that I know or parent that I've talked to. Ryan 1000% gets on my nerves, even though I love him to death. And even like as sad as it is, like the pets will get on my nerves, or I get on my nerves. I'll go to put something on the table and it'll fall, and then I'll go to pick it back up and try and put it back on the table and it'll fall again. And then I'll be like, oh my God, or I'll stub my toe and then just like be like, are you kidding me? Like I get so, so frustrated and overstimulated as a parent, 1000%. Would I love to be more graceful and patient? Yes. Am I working on it? Always. Does the little stuff bother me? All the time. All of the time. And it's just a sign like, oh, yeah, probably going to go to bed a little bit earlier today because I can feel it. You know, I can tell that I'm cranky. But in terms of like relationship wise, like if you're going through it and your partner's getting on your nerves a lot, just make sure like it's normal to get on each other's nerves. But I think it's just a matter of making sure that you have that like healing moment before the day ends. So even when Ryan and I are really getting on each other's nerves, like just yesterday, I'll share a personal experience. So just yesterday, I could tell Ryan was having a bad day. And it was bugging me because I was like, okay, you're in your mood and like, that's fine, but like, I need your help. And like, I was getting annoyed and he was in a bad mood. And then at one point I came out into the living room and I was making myself a tea and I looked over on the couch and I could just see him sitting there. And I was just like, you know what? Who cares? It's not worth it. And I walked over and I just got into his lap and just like curled up onto his shoulder and gave him a big hug. And we just kind of like laid there for a little bit, hugging each other. And it's just one of those things like, yeah, like just let it go kind of thing. Like we're both just going through it. We're both like, you know, being pushed to the max all the time. And so that's how I tend to heal things is like, I'm very affectionate and I'm very like, I'm going to come over and I'm going to hug you and I'm going to want to tell you that you're amazing. And like Ryan's way of healing things, especially if like I'm in a cranky mood or whatever, is like, he's a little bit more jokey. Like he'll like smack my butt or come over and just be like, you're so beautiful. Like kiss me or something. Like he'll like make me laugh or like break the ice that way when I'm in a mood. So as long as you do one of those things, like just try even to, you know, just acknowledge that you're both doing the most and that you're still on each other's team, even when you're on each other's nerves. I think that's important. Are you still breastfeeding Easton? I am. And do I plan on breastfeeding or co-breastfeeding with baby two? I probably will. I'm not planning to. And I am, like I said earlier, with a lot of things right now, just going with the flow. Easton only breastfeeds once a day and it's literally just for bedtime. And I only imagine it's very normal from what I'm reading that when baby two comes, baby one sometimes regresses a little bit. So I imagine when baby two comes, especially with breastfeeding, that, you know, Easton's going to want to almost like breastfeed a little bit more again. I'm okay with that as long as baby one is getting, you know, their needs met. I wasn't planning on co-feeding and I was trying to wean Easton. But that nighttime feed is like really what helps him settle and go to sleep. And so it's not just for him, it's for us too. It's for me too. And like, to me, it was like, okay, you know what? I can do this. I can keep doing this if it's just making all of us feel better and life a little easier for us right now. So he only breastfeeds just once at night for bedtime and that's it. And whatever happens when baby two comes, like I just don't want Easton to feel like, you know, like he's being like pushed out of the nest. So I'll just be aware and kind of work with where he's at once baby two comes. You know, it's funny. This is exactly part of this question is part of the reason why Ryan was in the mood he was yesterday. And like I was in the mood I was on the weekend, where the question is, how do you deal with so many reoccurring tasks at home when you have a family? Thanks. Yeah, this is like partly what was getting on us on our nerves on the weekend, is that like there's just so many things to do all of the time. And him and I were having a good talk about it, like once we did crack the ice. And to be honest, my answer is systems. I think you have to have systems in place, because when you don't have a system in place, things will get neglected. And so we are starting a garden right now. And like Ryan was basically just, you know, having a moment where he was like, it's so hard to like stay on top of the garden and stay on top of the seedlings every day and make sure that they're being well taken care of, while also, you know, watering all of our plants and taking care of our pets and keeping the house clean and keeping the laundry done. And we were just like having one of those moments. And I was like, well, okay, like, to me, I love a problem because a problem means like I get to sit down and come up with a plan and a solution and a system. And to me, I love my systems. I love my routines. So I think it's just a matter of when you have reoccurring tasks, finding the right system that works for you, and then allowing yourself, depending on the type of person you are, to let it be a little malleable. So like each week I rewrite out my routine and I let myself kind of move things around a little bit just to keep it fresh. So I don't feel like I'm living the same day and week in and out all year. So, you know, the sun goes down a little bit later and the sun comes up a little bit earlier. So once it starts getting warmer, I'll change my workout to a walk, or, you know, I just change my routines and my systems around a little bit. Or I'll change my cleaning day to Friday instead of Sunday and just kind of move things around. But I think just having the right systems in place and kind of like stacking your reoccurring tasks on top of each other and cleaning as you go or doing things as you go will really help. And you just kind of take note each week, like, okay, you know what got done really well this week was the laundry and the plants got fed, but the dishes didn't really get done. So how can I habit stack this week to basically include the dishes? And you just work with yourself as you go. Not everything can get done all the time every week unless you literally have the means to hire a bunch of extra hands. So just be graceful with yourself. Like if you aren't getting it all done all the time, that's fine. Do the best you can, make the systems that you can, and then work with those systems and notice what's working, what's failing, and continue to rework yourself, reinvent yourself, reinvent the wheel over and over again. I actually have to head out and pick up groceries before picking up my son, but I will answer. Let's try two more questions. How to know when your person isn't the right one? I've had a couple serious relationships in my life, and something that is, I've thought about this before, the thing that's different this time around, because like there's still, I would say no matter who you fall in love with, no matter who you want to spend your life with or start a life with, there's always going to be cracks. There's always going to be conflicts. There's always going to be tough times. There's going to be hard times. It doesn't matter who you choose. There is no such thing as a perfect person for you. We are all flawed individuals. And some relationships are harder than others. Like I had relationships in my past that I would have said a lot more, maybe like, I don't want to say easygoing. Ryan's a very easygoing guy. I would just say that maybe we were, part of it was maybe complacency, but it was just like very, it just like there was never any problems, never any issues, never any conflicts. We didn't fight. But part of the problem and what made me end those relationships is like there was also no passion and there was also not a whole lot of like fire there, you know? So I could say that in my experience, in hindsight, there was always a time where I knew, and it was usually early on, and I wouldn't want to admit it to myself, so I wouldn't be so honest about it, but I could always feel it. There would always be this moment where I'd be like, oh man, there's no coming back from that. And it would grow as the time progressed to the point where it was like, okay, we can't ignore this anymore. This isn't working anymore. And that's probably the biggest difference this time around, is that I can't picture my life without my fiance now. Even when we are at our worst and he's driving me nuts, I like, there's never been a moment where I'm like, okay, that's it. And like, we've been through some tough shit. Like we've been through hell and back, and like, we've seen each other at our worsts. And even then it was like, this is worth fighting for kind of thing. Like, it was like, I never got that feeling of, you know, some people call it like the ick now. Like, it's like, he never gave me the ick. This also comes down to our attachment styles and, you know, our relationships and the way that we learn love and relationships growing up. But like, I'm a very, the type of lover that I am is like, I give and I give and I give. And then as soon as I'm done with somebody, like as soon as they wrong me or something, like it's very, I get very like, done. Like, I am done with you. Like, no, you don't get access to me anymore. And it's, that's just my own upbringing. It's by no fault of anybody I have ever been with, dated, or, you know, even friendships where I was like, done. Like, I just get to this point where like, if I feel wronged, like truly wronged, I'm done. And there's no convincing me otherwise. And even with Ryan, where maybe like we've been in a fight or he's done something and I've been like really upset by it, I've never had that feeling. I think a lot of the times, if you're asking, how do you know your person isn't the right one, odds are there's things that are sticking out to you that's making you ask this question. Have you had that little feeling, that little inkling of like, ooh, I think this might have an expiration date? And if so, just know that's super normal, especially in the earlier years of life. Like, I don't regret any of my relationships because they taught me so much. And there are still relationships that I look back on and I'm like, or exes that I have that I look back on, and I just like truly want to see them happy and successful. And I know that's the same for them too. Like, it's not like we have any communication or any ways of like staying in contact or anything. It's just one of those things you just know where you're like, yeah, this didn't work out, but you know, I like still cheer them on from afar as someone that like meant a lot to me at some point in my life. So it's not even like it's like a bad thing when someone isn't your person, because you teach each other a lot. I just think it gets to a point where, and this could be different for everyone, and I'd love to hear anyone's experience, but for me, it gets to a point where like you meet somebody and it's like you just can't picture life without that person. And the things you want out of life align and you start building this life together. Like, that's how it happened for me with Ryan. Is it was like what he wanted and what I wanted were so similar. And at our very core, the things that mattered most to us, which was like family and like starting a family, building our family, those were very much aligned, like making a home and having our family unit. Like, we love being together with our son, and like we love the idea of doing things together, all together. And like, he loves being a dad, I love being a mom, we love being together. And like, yeah, we definitely have our days, and we are very, very different, Ryan and I, our personalities. But there has never been that moment where I'm like, oh God, this won't work. There's been times where I'm like, this is really hard, this is really complicated, like we have a lot to figure out. But there's never been that moment of like, this isn't worth the effort or time. So I think if you have to ask, I would dig into that and just let yourself know that, you know, it's not going to be perfect no matter who you find. You just find the right person that it's worth living an imperfect life with. I know I said I'd answer two more questions, but I actually really have to go. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and sharing this coffee catch up. Well, for me, it was a tea catch up, and just inquiring about life and thoughts and asking me such great questions. Every time I do these, I'm always just really overwhelmed by how many of you guys write in, but also how great your questions are and thought provoking. I would love to know how you guys are doing. Catch me up on your side. Like, how are things with you? And what have you been up to? How's life feeling for you on your end? What stage of life are you in right now? And without further ado, I will chat with you guys all next week in the next coffee talk. Bye, everyone.